Any of y'all ever hitchhiked? Be honest. Anybody ever done that? Okay. Is that a word, hitchhiked? So you're standing along the road, got your thumb out, and you're expecting whoever stops, number one, is going to have a seat for you, is going to have gasoline that's paid for. It's probably, if this is the summertime, you're going to have air conditioning. That person's got a license to be able to drive. He or she is going to go out of their way a little bit, probably, to take you where you want to go. And how much skin do you have in the game? Zip. Zip. Just climb on board, get on there, and sit back and go. Oftentimes, a spiritual hitchhiker is the same way. I find a church, I kind of like it, I jump in there, I benefit from the ministries or whatever it might be. I maybe get average or okay preaching, but I get good music, I get friends who are around, they stick with the Bible. I can jump on board there and yet really don't have a whole lot of skin in the game. Now, let me address a couple of kinds of folks. Number one, if a person like that is a lost person, they're not Christians, and they know they're not Christians. They come and they sit there within the church, and they're part of everything for a long time. Amen. Keep on coming, man. Keep on coming as long as you can come. You keep on coming. Also, there are people who, man, they've left the church for whatever reason, a good reason, and man, they want to find the proper place that God has for them. Well, you're probably not going to find that in a week or two or a month, maybe even 6 months. Okay? So I'm not talking about that. And I also know here, I alluded to this earlier, let's just be real. There's some folks they've committed their lives to the local church one or two times, maybe even three times or whatever in their life. They put their names on the membership roll. They've been involved. They've given all those kinds of things. And, man, they've been hurt like you would not believe. Some of you fit that category right now. And you seriously, you're saying to yourself, why on earth do I want to join that three-ring circus again? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be involved with church people. But you know what? I just can't commit to what they're asking me to commit to. Well, I'll refer you. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every point with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I'm going to skip point six, point seven, so you call it point six. This is the last one in this question. Why join a church? You encourage that church when you consider it faithful and you join. So here's an example. Davis and Wanda, you just happened to gain my eyes, man. It happened to gain my eyes. So I remember Davis telling me a little bit about when y'all, back in those days, you courted, you know, they kind of like courted, dating. But what would have happened if Davis and Wanda, they started courting each other and really liking each other. And then after a few months goes by, man, the next thing you know, it's a year. And they really, really do like each other. You know, they've worked through some issues where they might not agree totally, and they've plowed through it, and they've worked it out with their parents, and their parents are all supportive. They love this couple. But they just never take that next step. Davis just never asked Wanda, would you marry me? So it's 3 years down the road now, and they're still, you know, a happy couple, but now Wanda is thinking, hold on, what's wrong with me? What is it about me that would keep you from really committing to me? I'm going to say something that might be totally like over the top, and you might go, wow. You probably shouldn't have said that. Did you know that you can be a visitor and a tender and a tender in a local church for a long, long time, and you're not an encouragement, you're a discouragement to the body of that local church? Did you know that? You know why? Same reason I just gave. Man, I like you. I really like you a lot. I like you enough to be there every time the door is open. I like you enough to give you money. I like you enough to be with you, to fellowship with you. But you know what? I just don't like you enough to marry you. And so the body is looking around going, what is it about us that's not appealing? Are we inferior believers? Does that make sense to everybody? So that brings me to the last question. Last question is this. Okay, you've heard what I put out there this morning. Do you understand why topical sermons are like not fun? They're really not good to listen to. And you preach them once a year and repent as soon as you finish. Third question is this. Okay, so what? What do we do? What do I do? I just heard this stuff. Now what do I do about it? Well, if you know deep down in your heart that you're not a Christian, if you know deep inside I'm not saved, here's what you do. You turn from yourself and your sin, and you turn to Jesus Christ with open arms. You admit that I'm a sinner. God, there's nothing beautiful about me. Folks, can I just stop for a moment and just remind all of us of that? That's the gospel that we need every single moment of every single day. That good news, man, that good news was good news this morning when I woke up. That good news for you will be good news tomorrow morning when you wake up. You've been a Christian for 50 or 60 years. I'm telling you what, that good news keeps being the good news tomorrow morning when you slip and you fall and you think whatever you shouldn't be thinking, or you stumble and do that sin again, or think that sin again, or you go there again, which you just swore to God, God, I'll never, ever think that again. God, I'll never, ever go there again. God, I'll never sink that low again. But you do. And He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and keep on cleansing us. That's the good news. So if you're here today without Christ, I'm going to ask you to do this. Join the church. Not necessarily this local church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the body of Christ. That's the church, the called out assembly all over the world. When you repent, you come to Christ. The Bible says then He makes you part of the church universal. How? I see God for who He is. I see me for who I am. I see Christ for who He is. I repent and trust Him. If you've got any questions about that, if I'm speaking to you this morning particularly, just as soon as this worship service is over, you grab me. I want to talk with you. You meet with the elder in this office right next door through those doors. Man, he wants to talk with you, okay? Please don't put that off. But second of all, what do I do if I'm a church member here at Harvest? I'm on the roll here. I'm signed up. Here's my advice. Be real. Be real. What do you mean by that? Romans 12:5-6. first half of verse 6 anyway, it says this: so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, here's what he says, let us use them. See kind of what I'm getting at there, and I think what he's getting at here. You can have your name on a roll of a local church and really not be part. That shouldn't happen. I mean, we strive as best we can here at Harvest to pray through, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, you can be. You can be a member with your name on the roll, and yet you're not part of the body. So, every time we have the Lord's Supper or at a members' meeting, we stand up and we recite the church covenant. Remember that? Remember when you learned about the church covenant? The church, the statement of faith is what we believe, and the church covenant is what we agree, or how we agree that we're going to act with each other in our lives based on what we say we believe. Can anybody like remember some of the stuff we stand up and we recite every time that we've covenanted with one another to do? Anybody remember that? You don't have to just spit it out, but just like little bullets. Okay, pray for one another. What else? He says, faithfully admonish one another. We talked about that last week, right? The difference between admonishing and embarrassing. Bear one another's burdens. Cheerfully give. Gather together, not forsake the assembling. Okay, rejoice when people rejoice, and cry like babies when they're crying like babies. Yeah, when we join another church, do it quickly. Yeah, so those are the kinds of things that we covenant together. We say this is what we're going to do. So then what I'm getting at here, the point is, okay, great, we're part of a local church. My name is on the roll. Every time when I'm praying for members of this church and I've got my roll out and I'm just going down the page, you're being prayed for. We're praying for one another. But it's not simply enough to get your name on the roll, right? We're covenanting together to be, it's cheesy. I mean, it just sounds so cheesy. But we really are covenanting together to be a family and be enmeshed in one another's lives. And then number 3, if you're a Christian but you're not an active member in a local church, join one. Join one. If it's not Harvest, that's fine. Join a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-centered local church for the reasons that we talked about earlier. And by the way, I know if you're a person this morning, you're not a member at Harvest, and this has probably been a hard little talk to listen to. It's like, man, I ain't got to listen to that. But you know what? I love you enough to say this. I thought about how to close this message, and I bet you thought about that too. When will it ever happen? This might not work. This little anecdote might not work, but I'm going to try my best. It might. Occasionally, we'll sing a song that it's just kind of upbeat, and it just begs for clapping. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it's just the kind of song, it's just, you know, you just want to clap. And then, so there's a little smattering of clapping. Often starts like up in the front somewhere, or back there maybe. Okay, and you get, and Tim's pointing out his brother in Christ. It starts right there. And so, and we're all standing up, and man, I'm not turning around looking at your faces, and I'm not turning around seeing who's clapping, but I know enough to know there's a whole bunch of people who aren't clapping. And my question is simply, why? Why? What'd he say? That's true. I mean, that's true. I get that. Do you know, for me personally, this is just a little pick, but I get the privilege of standing up here and saying these things. For me, it is a great turnoff. It is a tremendous discouragement when I hear smattering of clapping and I know there's people who are standing there stiff as a log who will not budge and who would never clap. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to clap. Now, it might your reasoning may be valid. Your conscience may have been misinformed somewhere along the line that you've been taught it's totally irreverent to clap in church. I don't know where that came from. But I can understand that. I can understand if that's your upbringing, you just never clap in church. I get that. And I can follow it when I don't want to necessarily clap and give applause to somebody who just sang a psalm because I'm like applauding them in the flesh. And I get all that. But man, you know, the Bible has enough to say enough about the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And there's other places in Psalms where it's inferred in worship that we're clapping our hands. Why? Because the message is good enough to clap over. We're not singing some hillbilly, unchristian song that we're going to be clapping to. I mean, we're clapping to gospel words, gospel songs that it should make us want to clap. So I can understand the person in the congregation or the person in the gathering when we're singing a song that they don't want to clap and they don't know the Lord. I can understand that. You have nothing to clap about. Nothing. I get it. And like I just mentioned, some of us who maybe we were raised that you just don't clap in church. So it's just like, man, for me to clap in church, I'm going to be breaking the cardinal rule. This is the great sin. Oh, no, I'm going to go to hell and never be rescued if I clap my hands. So I'm just not going to do that. I get it. I get it. That's kind of hard. I'm just saying get over that. Get over that. But here's the point. If genuinely we as a church believe this is a song worth clapping about and the message is good enough to clap about, why don't we all clap together? It takes unison. It takes a choice. And it sends a message to one another. Man, I agree with those words. I agree with this message. And it's worth clapping about. Hopefully, we would never, ever in this congregation ever ask you to do anything in worship that's not prescribed or even subscribed. Is that a word? Subscribe? What does that mean? Sometimes, man, I use words I have no idea of what it means. My dad's the world's worst about that. But the point I want to make is, you know what, if we ever ask you or encourage you to do something that is unbiblical in worship, man, you should be the first to go, no, that's off limits. The Bible doesn't talk about that, and you can't make me to do that. Like, stand up. Let's stand up. We did this at Centrifuge. I'm bringing this to a close. This was sort of a joke at Centrifuge, okay, so we kind of laughed about it, whatever. But we stand up. It's a bunch of young people there, so young people do anything. They'll do anything. So let's stand up, let's all turn like this, and while we're doing whatever, we're going to rub each other's back. We were rubbing each other's back while we were praying for them. And then we turned the other way, and then they rubbed our back, and we rubbed the next person back while we were praying for them. Now, is that like illegal and immoral, and everybody's going to hell because we all did that? No, but you know what? You're never going to be asked to do that, right, Alex? because that's just not right. So I'm going to land this plane now. And if you've been a longtime visitor at Harvest, and man, you know who you are, and I know who you are. I love you. I absolutely love you, and this body absolutely loves you. And I'm praying for you that you'll just listen to the Lord's prompting and His leadership in your life. I've laid it out there today. I could have skipped this altogether, but it's just a message I think needed to be preached. Because next week, we're starting to get into stuff like sexual immorality. I mean, bad kind of stuff. And how does the church handle that? So before we get that, we need to just have a little talk about, okay, man, here's what it means to be part of that local church. Everybody got that? We're good? Okay. Now let's close with a word of prayer. I think right now, Brandon Montgomery, just would you mind just where you are? Just would you just stand up and just pray for us? Just close this time in prayer. And then Wesley Loveday is going to come and speak just for a moment before we're dismissed. Would you pray for us?
Lord, we thank you for this body. And we just lift up each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. And just thank you for your word, Lord, and just for this opportunity to come together. Amen. Just lift up those who are not members, that you put in their hearts, Lord, to seek you and make that decision. And for the members of our church and other churches, Lord, we just continue to pray for strength and guidance to walk with you. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be together right here.
Well, this is my last time with you today, so I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you. These 11 plus years have had a major influence and major impact on me. I've had the deepest relationships that I've ever had in my life, so I thank you for that. Thank you for all the financial help you've given us the last few months. To the youth and youth people, thank you for the quilt that you made for me. That'll always be a treasure. And really, all of you, all this will be in my heart forever. So thank you for being our family, and God bless.